Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Here I am, Chicago!
Woo! Three titles in 6 years. Yes, it is worth cheering for.
Welcome to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. And before we go anywhere else, feels good. I'm your host, Dave Melton, deputy manager and the podcast host for this year's show, celebrating a Blackhawks victory tonight. Yeah, it's preseason. Yeah, the Blues may not have cared, but I don't think I give a damn. It's been about 4 months since I've been able to watch the Blackhawks play hockey, so I'm going to enjoy it. And there's two other people, my usual line mates, who are probably feeling much the same way. First up, it's the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepard Price.
Hi, the analytics are actually pretty good for this game. For the
yeah, Blackhawks. I know. Pleasantly surprised. Again, I don't know how much of a deal we're going to make about a preseason game, but I think the general theme that we'll get to later is it definitely doesn't suck. So,
no, exactly. Did not suck tonight.
And then also with us tonight, it's our site manager who's been looking for hockey in all the wrong places. It is Brandon Kane.
Yeah, that was oddly satisfying to watch.
I think you don't that's get my the Alderaan, and you don't get the Alderaan joke, do you?
No, I have no idea what the fuck that is.
See, this is another thing. I had an article this week where there was a Robot Chicken Star Wars reference, and it talked about...
I haven't seen either of those.
Yeah, well, you haven't seen Star Wars, so if you see Robot Chicken, if you watch the Robot Chicken Star Wars parody, it would make zero sense to you because you've never seen the actual Star Wars. But it's phenomenal. One of my former Wi-Fi passers was Alderaan Chunks Everywhere, which is from that show. So the three people who are getting this reference might be laughing, but oh well, I digress. Anyway, I guess we should talk about some hockey though, since like I said, for the first time in about 4 months, we had some real hockey to watch, and the Blackhawks disposed of the St. Louis Blues 4-0 tonight. Couple power play goals, couple 5-on-5 goals, a two goalie platoon shutout between Corey Crawford and Malcolm Subban. Just a lot of good things to talk about from a Blackhawks perspective. And Shepard Price, I'll go to you first. What stood out to you this evening?
Kirby Dach and Dominique Kubalik. The two, like, probably the most important, Adam Boqvist, but two of the most important Blackhawks rookies. Two goals and an assist from Dominique Kubalik, two assists to Kirby Dach. Both their two counts, so the assists and the goals, came on the power play. Easily the best numbers of that power play tonight. Just impressive performances by both of them. And I know, like, it seems like preseason. It's like preseason to postseason. But, like, that postseason is a preseason to the actual postseason. We're in a weird place.
Did you just say?
To the qualifying rounds is, like, the NHL has decided that that's not playoffs.
So playoffs?
Well, you can just say exhibition and then you, like, actually defense.
But I like that it's the preseason to the postseason, which is the preseason to the postseason. But, like, again, those two guys very much stood out. Kubalik had, like, the best Corsi on the team with, like, a 70%.
That line with Taves, Saad, and Kubalik was – looked like the way it looked at many times during the regular season, way back in, you know, early, before times.
That's one of the reasons that, like, the Kubalik-Doc-Kajula line never made any sense to me. Was, like, it's very clear that Kubalik and Saad are meant for each other. So I don't know. I never got the logic of separating them. Because, again, they showed tonight, like, why that was dumb. It's like Olimata and Slater Cuckoo. They should take all their shifts together. It's like everything worked, weirdly. I was really honestly just happy with the whole team. But those two guys were the ones that stood out to me.
Brandon Kane, what about you?
I think the main storyline going in was, would Crawford play, and then would he get two periods, or would he exit halfway through? And they went with the latter option. Can't really judge his performance too much because the Blackhawks defense, and that's including the forwards, kind of kept everything out of the middle for him and pushed everything to the outside, which is what you'd want to see.
Right.
So it was just kind of like, yeah, he made 10 saves, but it wasn't like anything noteworthy where it was like, oh, you clearly could see he was tracking the puck well. It's just kind of like, well, that was just a shot there. Like, mm-hmm. Nothing too spectacular. Yeah, and I feel like Taves had a pretty decent game in my eyes. There was one, I don't believe that they ended up scoring on it, but it was a chance for Kubalik where he took the puck from the Blackhawks zone to the other end and did some weird, like, juke or like weave and made David Perron look like an idiot.
Was that the really nice dangle, like right at the blue line to gain zone entry? He cut from his right to his left. I think I remember the play you're talking about because they showed the replay of it and I was like, oh, that was Taves. I didn't realize that was Taves that did that. So some good agility.
Yeah. I didn't see anything that from the defense that really stood out to me except for Lucas Carlson.
Yeah.
He played way more than I expected.
He played way better than I was expecting as a seventh defenseman.
No. I also liked his bench reaction.
Go ahead.
I go to the Second City Hockey Twitter account to see that reaction. It's pretty good.
All right. Now I feel like I missed it, so I need to see it. When did this happen?
They took a 3-0 lead.
Okay. Got
midway through the third.
I see it now. Yeah, that's a good look on his face. I'm not sure what. Also, he's clearly a hockey player because he's missing half of his front teeth.
All on one side too.
Yeah, I guess it was one shot, same area. But yeah, I think the biggest thing, like, and you said, Brandon, it's kind of hard to judge his performance because there really wasn't much for him to do. But seeing Corey Crawford back in net, I think, is a big confidence booster for me and probably for everybody around the team and on the team, just because of his veteran presence, how good he is, how much he's won. I think we'll find out more on Saturday about what kind of condition and shape he's in. I don't imagine he's too far from game shape if they were playing him. Like, I'm sure he'll be good to go on Saturday, but, you know, there's goaltending is a lot about feel and tracking the puck and all those things that you were mentioning. So it's still, I'm encouraged, but I'm not exactly, you know, like 100% Corey Crawford's going to be the usual Corey Crawford we're used to seeing because it was only a week ago he was at home getting over the virus. So hopefully he's there because if Corey Crawford gets to that level, then it's a wildly different series than it would be without Corey Crawford on the Blackhawks roster. I think the other thing was just the Taves Saad Kubalik line was a very vivid reminder of what they can do and what they can be, which is not only a good shutdown line because all those guys play two-way hockey so well, but they're good enough that they can play defense by just controlling the puck in the offensive zone the majority of the time they're out there. If they're out there matched up against the McDavid line and McDavid spends the majority of his ice time chasing the puck around his own zone, that's exactly what you want with – that's where you want McDavid to be. You don't want him anywhere near the Blackhawks defense and net. So that's a very good reminder there. The Kirby Doc thing is interesting, and I think we'll get into this later when we do our preview of the upcoming series with Edmonton that we'll do later this week. But I think that third line of Kirby Doc, Alex DeBrincat, and Drake Caggiula might be the X factor for the Hawks, where if they have a good series, they're okay, and if they don't have a good series, the Hawks are probably in trouble. But we can dive more into that later. Kirby Doc was impressive. Kubalik, as Shepard pointed out, was very good. The defense was fine. I guess it didn't really seem – and this is where you started seeing comments in the second and the third period that maybe St. Louis isn't quite in, you know, second and third gear tonight. Looks like they're kind of gotten this one on cruise control. I never know how to judge that, but maybe it seemed like St. Louis didn't quite care too much about this game because the round robin they have is not like it's an elimination thing like the Hawks are going into starting on Saturday. So not going to make a huge deal about it, but it is nice to see the Hawks kick somebody's ass.
Especially a team that they got swept in or swept by in the regular season.
Yeah, especially St. Louis. I mean, it was – and then at the end of the game, like there's a slashing penalty on someone. Somebody slew-footed Connor Murphy. It's like, oh, the Blues are being a bunch of shitbags like they used to do in 2011 when they didn't win anything. I thought they'd stop doing this once they realized that maybe if we just play hockey and score goals, we'll win more games, and then they did.
Well, it's like we said, it's preseason hockey, so you pull out all the shitbag stops in preseason hockey.
Yeah. So this is just a general feel for it. I mean, we've had about 2 days of hockey games now, and Shepard, I'll ask you, what's it like for you just to have hockey back again?
Watching hockey yesterday was fantastic. I thought it was on Monday. I was wrong. Yeah, watching hockey yesterday was fantastic. I got, like, way too excited about a preseason goal when Saad scored. I got up on my feet for that goal. There was a few let's goes let go. So I am very, very excited for the return of hockey, especially because unlike Major League Baseball, who's experienced some rough stuff recently, hockey is actually in a bubble, and like the bubble is pretty like bubbly right now.
The bubble is pretty bubbly. That's a good sentence. I like that. But no, I think like a lot of the problems they're having with baseball is I guess they're finding out now that a bunch of the Marlins players went out on the town, which is exactly what you don't want. And the prevalence of the virus is not as bad, anywhere near as bad in Canada as it is in so many portions of the United States. And the fact that the hockey players are in a bubble when a bubble worked for the NWSL, it is working for the MLS, and it seems to be working for the NBA. So it's encouraging on that front that it seems like this is all going to work, and we're not getting all excited about something that's going to get shut down in a week. Like, it still kind of feels like baseball might have issues, you know, it's at some point as the season is going on. It seems like hockey can do this thing and get through it. And Shepard, you share my baseball fandom as a White Sox fan. It was nice just to have a night where I watched the Blackhawks win, and then I flipped over and saw the White Sox close out a victory. So it feels good to have sports back in some manner into my life again. It's really weird to be watching hockey at the end of July, but I don't care. I'd watch hockey if it was in the middle of April or middle of June. I don't really give a shit at this point. I'd watch hockey. As long as it's on, I'm going to watch it.
Right. And because we're all stuck inside anyway, it doesn't even feel like the middle of July.
I know, right? It's like, yeah, I'm not exactly going to be going out to a bar to watch this game like I usually would if it was playoff season, which I can't say I do that all the time, but you know, a couple games for a series, you gotta go out in the public for just to get the camaraderie. I always enjoy doing that at least. Brandon, about you, what are your impressions of the last, 36 hours of hockey coming back officially? Well, kind of officially.
I love the staggered start times.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the best. Because you can just go from watching a game to another, or in the case of today where there were a little bit of overlap, mm-hmm. It was perfectly timed where the second intermission hit of the Minnesota-Colorado game and then the Washington-Carolina game started. And I was like, I can watch like the first 10 minutes of this during this intermission. Like, this is great.
Yeah, like the – it reminds me of like the first 2 weeks of the playoffs that they would have in April, when the games would be like one at 6 and one at 6:30, like the East Coast games. And like you were talking about, Brandon, when one would go to the intermission, you could flip to the other one. And then it go to the intermission, you go back to the first game and it's in the second. And you could just sit on your couch from 6 o'clock till about midnight and have hockey on all the time. And it feels like a lot of people are going to be watching a lot of hockey. I was going to say at work, which is probably at home these days, but there's going to be a lot of hockey to watch. You're going to go from, it's going to go 0 to 90 real quick. Going to go from no hockey to having it for what, like 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Staggered starts. It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to next week. My productivity at work is going to be pretty terrible.
I think in August it's all day long. It's just all day.
Yeah.
I do realize that I've become like this old man during quarantine, even more so.
Quarantine?
More so than before.
Okay. Right?
So I wake up a little bit earlier in the day than I normally would. So I'm going to have to like change that up a little bit, right? So you can like watch all the games in the day.
You've got a couple 9:30 starts.
Like those 9:30 starts are a bitch.
Yeah, those are
And the Hawks have two of those.
Yeah.
At least.
It's Monday and Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, just so we can lay out the schedule for people quickly. It's Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. And then, if necessary, I believe it's a Friday, Saturday back to back. I don't know the times of the Friday and Saturday games. I'm not even sure if they announced them yet.
They didn't.
Okay. Yeah, those are TBD because we're waiting to see. And the game Saturday is at 2. That's what the weird. You start Saturday at 2, and then you go to 9 for the other two games. But I guess I can't complain too much because we do have hockey in general back, so it's fine. And I can't remember if we discussed this in our pre-show meeting, so I apologize if I'm getting you guys a question completely out of the blue, but what did you think about the no fans thing and the, I guess, the pumped in crowd noise, just the overall broadcast situation? Because it is a lot different than what we're used to, but yeah. What'd you guys think?
All right, so I think me and Brandon are on different sides of this issue. I am not a fan of the pumped-in crowd noise, the disembodied sounds that don't ever, like, rise to anything. There's no chance. It's very clearly, like, supposed to be a hockey audience, but, there's no shoot yells. there's no, like, home goal reactions. It doesn't get louder ever. It's just a hum at some point.
Yeah, there's a very specific time when you could hear the entire crowd yell shoot on a power play.
Yeah. And
I don't know how you have somebody at the ready with that button in the production truck. It's very difficult to replicate that.
But you need it.
I'm
a fan of everything else, but I want to hear the players. This is like a very rare occasion when we'll be actually able to hear the players. And I know they swear. I've been around hockey players. I know how much they swear. I still want to hear it, kind of.
I want to hear every damn word.
Like, if there's a way to opt into an R-rated version of each game, I'd be willing to do it.
I'm right there with you. Like, if they would put the games on HBO uncensored, just let it go. I'm totally here for that. I mean, I think it was Josh Reddick popped out in a baseball game, and after the infielder made the catch, you can hear clearly the loudest of F-bombs to where the announcer stops mid-sentence and goes, sorry about that. So I'm sure hockey would be just as bad.
If not worse.
Probably worse. They managed to use an F-bomb as every part of speech, so.
I look forward to hearing some of that. Especially from coaches like John Tortorella, because I don't think the Columbus Blue Jackets have played their exhibition game yet, so I'm excited to hear what that sounds like.
Brandon, Shepherd claims you're on the opposite side of this situation, so go ahead and set him straight.
I feel like I've watched so many European soccer games and like NWSL and MLS games where I'm just like used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like what this sound is, like if there is crowd noise and if there isn't. And I'm just fine with it. I know that once the qualifying round starts that there might be more bells and whistles added to things, and maybe that would change to where, like, I know right now both home and road teams get their own like goal song in that. So maybe that doesn't happen in the qualifying round because that's a little weird. But I do really dig the Stanley Cup at the center ice logo and then like the 2020 and the NHL shields on both sides. I would, whenever normal comes back, I would like that moving forward instead of the home team's logo at the center.
No, I very much like the in rink appearance that they set up. Not only the on ice job, but also like the covering of the seats, and they got like all those banners and the team logos up. But like someone described it, looks very much like a WWE arena setup, which is fine because this is they had to do something to fill all these empty space where all these seats used to be. So I understand they did something different. I'm intrigued by they've been hinting at all these unique and different camera angles they're going to do because there are no fans. And I guess they're not rolling that out till the game start on Saturday. So I'm intrigued to see what that looks like. Cause I feel like there could be, you could be seeing hockey from a literal different perspective than you've ever seen it before because of what they're able to do. But I guess one thing I noticed related to the Chelsea Dagger, or when you were talking about goal songs, is when they played Chelsea Dagger after the Hawks scored, it was noticeably quieter on the NBC Sports broadcast than it usually is. And I think that was just one like subtle little reminder, like, oh yeah, this is kind of different. But when you're talking about Brandon, you're mentioning other thing with all like the soccer chants. Like, I've been playing a lot of FIFA, I think, as we discussed before, since this whole quarantine thing started. And so the crowd noises that they're using during the Premier League broadcast is from the FIFA video game. So what I'm hearing on TV is the same thing I'm hearing in my video game. So it all sounds very familiar to me. The problem with hockey, like Shepard was saying, is it's a much more, I guess, improvisational type of cheering, like the thing with the shooting on the power play or booing random calls or when players do random things. I don't know how you do that unless you have somebody in the truck just hitting buttons every 5 seconds to trigger different noises. It sounds, I don't even know if it's possible either. So I wouldn't even want to go down that road because it seems like something that's just too difficult to replicate and make it sound right. Otherwise, it would just be weird.
I think just get a really good shock jock audio DM or audio DJ in there who just has a soundboard in front of them.
I don't know. It's if you did it wrong, I think it would be worse than what they have now. And I think that would be the problem.
Yeah.
Because if you did it really poorly, it would be way too noticeable.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
One thing that I have found to be really strange with this is the seat coverings for the lower bowl don't have ads on them. I feel like that's a gigantic missed business opportunity. I'm not saying you like throw up a Viagra ad on them, but like,
we'll call Gary up, see what's going on.
Right. I actually like, hey, can you erect this ad for me, Gary? but like, there's so much space there. I'm like, you guys are missing out on so much money.
Well, and I saw that they're like, after the Hawks and Oilers game was done, and I think Winnipeg and whoever the hell they're playing. Who?
Vancouver.
Vancouver. They're playing right now, and they had to, like, change out the ads on the boards even.
Mm-hmm.
Which
they're doing that for every game because they're trying to, like, keep it as local as possible to the home team.
So was Pizza 73 on the wall during Calgary's game?
I think so. There's a mix of NHL's boards and each home team's boards.
Speaking of board ads in Viagra, Vancouver.
I like that the
only one that has a Viagra ad.
Vancouver's?
Yeah.
Wish we could just run a "the more you know" GIF right in the middle of this conversation.
That's courtesy of Brad Replinger.
Oh, well. Never mind. Well, gentlemen, I'm kind of running out of angles and everything to discuss. I mean, it would have been different if we had watched the Hawks lose 4-0 tonight, because then I think we'd all be absolutely terrified about what was coming up this weekend. But with the Hawks winning 4-0 and Corey Crawford looking – or just physically being there and being able to start the game, and I don't think anybody got injured – from the Hawks. I don't think St. Louis had a few guys get nicked up, but I think everyone's going to be okay. Like, I think I feel about as good as I can going into this series on Saturday. Where would you guys put your feelings at? Because that's the best I got. Is I don't my confidence probably couldn't be any higher just knowing how flawed this team was in the regular season.
I'm not reading highly into it because Edmonton also dominated Calgary in their lone game, and Calgary's got a much better defense than we do, even though they also have the misfortune of Erik Gustafsson on their blue line now. I'm glad the Blackhawks got some momentum from this game, and I'm glad the players who looked good, and I'm glad that guys like Crawford and Murphy returning from injury looked good, but it's hard to read anything into this right now.
Brandon, what about you?
I mean, they didn't look worse.
There you go. Did either one of you guys watch Edmonton play last night?
I did.
I watched two periods, and then my old ass fell asleep.
Yeah, your old ass. How old are you, Brandon?
29.
Okay, thank you. Shepard, what'd you say? Go ahead with your – what was your thoughts on the Oilers against the Flames?
When Yamamoto scored like less than 2 minutes in, it was like, and then another person scored like right after that. It was like, oh shoot, we're screwed. Because again, Calgary's got a much better defense.
True.
And they were doing that to Calgary.
Yeah, the Connor McDavid no look goal just kind of serves as a reminder of the talent that the Blackhawks are facing.
Yep.
And he was also just kind of flying around the rink like he usually does.
Like a little schoolboy.
Yeah, there you go. But just giving you another reminder of how fast he is, and he's going to be a problem. Like I don't think we can overstate how difficult it will be for the Hawks to just contain him, because they're not going to stop him. He's gonna have a point per game in this series. It's just a matter of keeping it like at a point per game and not letting it be 3 points per game.
A friendly reminder that he did not score a goal in either of the two regular season games against the Chicago Blackhawks.
That is true, and I actually looked. I remember when that was pointed out to me that I looked up his career splits against the Blackhawks, thinking maybe the Hawks have a history of shutting him down. And it wasn't McDavid. There's some other player that the Hawks, like, historically, for some reason. Well, I mean, in 11 games against the Hawks, Connor McDavid has 2 goals. He also has 8 assists for 10 points. So, well, that's not bad. I mean, you scroll down the list of other teams he's played against, and there's a lot of point-per-game paces there. But holding him to 2 goals seems pretty good.
And that's before we had the Taves-Saad-Kubalik line.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll dive into this later. The matchups are going to be very interesting to watch because do you throw the Taves line against McDavid or do you throw him against Dreisaitl? And then you also have the David Kampf line to use as a check down line. Then which D pairings do you throw against which group? And We're going to find out a lot about Jeremy Colleton as a coach in this series, I think, because the matchups are so – it's so obvious what you have to do to beat Edmonton, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does, how he approaches it. Brandon, what about you? Just your kind of general thoughts and feelings heading into this here qualifying round.
I feel like after this exhibition game and watching the Oilers one, there is the concern of pace among the defensemen for Chicago.
Yeah.
And like the quote shutdown pairings do not have the foot speed.
Yes.
To keep up with the Oilers attack. And that's just not McDavid. That's Yamamoto.
Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Often to see you, although he's fast. I don't know if like, I remember main thing I remember often to see you is that when he was on Detroit, the Hawks and Wings played a preseason game and he roasted Brandon Manning for a goal or a really good scoring chance. And that was like our first notice of, oh God, Brandon Manning's going to be a problem. And he was. It's also not encouraging that Calvin DeHaan took two penalties tonight. I believe were they both holding penalties?
No, there was a holding and a tripping, I think, or slashing.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, because the holding and tripping are typically penalties that are taken by defensemen who were either caught out of position or about to get beat or something that you worry would happen a lot with Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
So, and then in the third period, he also drew this hilarious cross-checking.
Oh, penalty. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Where he definitely got cross-checked, but I don't know if it was that hard. And then the guy who, got sent to the bin was like, are you fucking kidding me? DeHaan just skated back with, this smile on his face, and I was like, good for you.
Yeah, DeHaan got a tripping penalty and then a holding penalty, so I guess we'll see how he deals with Connor McDavid. That's gonna be. I'm pretty sure we're gonna anytime Connor McDavid. And this is one very specific playoff hockey watching feeling that I have forgotten about, and I'm not looking forward to it. But it will have begin is when the other team's star player comes on the ice and gets the puck, and you just watch from behind your hands because you're terrified about what's gonna happen. That will be happening every time either now or 29 gets the puck. Well, I think we've just carved up and dissected just about every angle and of what happened tonight between the Hawks and the Blues that we wanted to discuss. So before we get out of here for the evening, Shepherd Price, it's food take time for you. Yeah. So what you got for us?
Conventional wisdom states that among the things that can never be bad is the food art known as pizza.
Food art.
Yes, because it is... Every pizza, oh, it is conventionally held as a piece of art. However, I am of the opinion, and it may not be common, that there is such a thing as bad pizza.
Yeah, it's in St. Louis.
And it is most commonly found in ballparks and stadiums.
Really?
Yes. Especially at the White Sox, the White Sox pizza.
Horrible. Oh. Not a fan of... You don't like the companies that lay it on thick, you would say.
I'm a very big deep dish person. I take pride in it, having been raised in Illinois. It's not good there. I also like thick cheese. But it has to be quality cheese, and you don't find quality cheese at stadiums.
I haven't had maybe always great pieces of pizza at stadiums, but I don't know if I necessarily had bad ones either. It's usually name brands I think Rigabini's was at the United Center for a while. It was Connie's for a while. I don't even know who does it. It's been so long since I've been there. A whole 5 months. Brandon, what's your reaction to this?
The cheese take on that definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to a baseball stadium normally, it's just a slab of shit.
Yep.
That doesn't make me not really very appetizing when you say it like that.
It's just it's there. It either just rips off or it's just stupidly hot or ridiculously cold. There's no in between, really.
Yeah, it just gets a participation.
And when you put it in the top of your mouth, you're just done. You're just like, I'm not having this anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm also like not going to a game like, yeah, let's get some pizza. I'm more of a nachos person, so that's just me though.
Yes, I'm a firm believer that you can't ruin a hot dog, you can't ruin popcorn, and you can't ruin chicken fingers. So those are my go-tos.
I'm sure there's bad pizza out there.
And there's bad. There is also such a thing as bad pizza toppings.
If you try and get
too creative, if you're putting seafood on your pizza, you need to stop that.
I mean, the pineapple thing. Like, I'm not militantly against this, but like, fruit. Fruit doesn't belong on pizza. Just doesn't do it for me. So, quit doing that. The chain of pizza, it's Beggar's Pizza that serves at Comiskey Park or whatever the hell they're calling it these days. And there's one, like, they're all over the Chicagoland area, and I think they make a very good slice of pizza. I can't say I've had it at the White Sox Stadium, because usually when I go to White Sox Stadium and I see it, I'm like, well, I can get that anywhere I want. I'm at a White Sox game. I'm not going to eat pizza, especially a chain pizza I can get at work. So you got to go in center field and go to what used to be the Bill Melton stand and get the Italian beef there, because it's phenomenal. All right. Well, I guess there is such a thing as bad pizza.
Yeah.
Well, and on that note, but there is not such a bad thing as beating the St. Louis Blues, because that's always enjoyable, even when it's a preseason game. But that's going to do it for this here episode of Musings on Madison. Stick around. We got tons more preview content coming up for the rest of this week, and we'll have a preview podcast for the upcoming series against the Oilers. That's going to probably drop on Friday, so keep an eye out for that. Stay tuned to SecondCityHockey.com. We got tons of articles coming up for you. Follow us on Twitter, rate and review, subscribe, all those good things. And I think they'll do it. For Brandon, for Shepherd, I'm your host, Dave Melton. Stay safe. Keep wearing a mask so we can get this hockey thing in and maybe get other sports and, you know, like high school sports when they start in the fall. And go Hawks.
People like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.